Ah, yes, the sound of the heavy metal bumper music indicating that you have tuned to one of those new hot talk hip happening talk shows. You've been hearing all about those. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Henry. When you hear rock and roll bumper music, that means the guy that hosts the show wants desperately for you to believe that his show is cutting edge and hip, even though after you listen for about 20 minutes, it usually ain't. But this one is. And we're very happy to be with you here. Today is whatever the hell it is. It's 2001. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Before we get into our first topic, we're going to talk about Whitney Houston and the fact that she's been stalked by some freak that thinks that she is, Whitney is this lady's spiritual stepmother. Very strange story. We wanted to ask the help of our listeners. We're fans of a group called the Tiger Lilies here on the Phil Henry Show. The Tiger Lilies are a trio of, they're very strange, and I'm not going to bore you with the details because this is America. Their music is not sold, as far as I can tell, their music is not sold anywhere in the United States. We've tried, and we can't find it any place. That doesn't surprise me because they're really odd, and this being America, things that are too quirky and weird just don't get sold around here. So rather than we have to do some mail order thing, we thought what we would do, if you got a Tiger Lily CD, we'll trade you a Phil Henry CD for a Tiger Lily CD. Now, I imagine we'll get more than one offer, so we'll just do a random drawing, and whoever's name we pick, you'll get the CD just as soon as we get the Tiger Lily CD. So see, we got it covered all the way. We ain't sending you no CD until we get yours. When we get yours, you'll get ours, and we're only going to do a random drawing, so it doesn't mean everybody doesn't get one, and that's just the way it's going to be. And if you know, if you're a Tiger Lilies fan, you know who I'm talking about. The rest of you guys don't know what I'm talking about. What I would suggest you do is go to tigerlilies.com, download some of the interesting selections of music that they provide there, listen to these freaks, because they are gone. They're way out there. And you'll enjoy them as much as we do, and then maybe they'll play L.A., or they'll play more than a couple of towns in the United States. I don't even think they played the United States this last tour. They played Vancouver, and now they're in England, and they're big in Russia. So there it is. They got a Moscow website. 1-800-449-8686. On the line is Art Griego with a group called Fan Base Associates. Now, here's the story, and it's one of those interesting stories that comes to us from the warped center of America. A judge has issued another restraining order against a New York City woman who believes that Whitney Houston is her mother. Superior Court Judge Kenneth McKenzie issued the order Tuesday against Desiree Weeks, whose most recent letters to Houston included a threat against the singer. Weeks began sending rambling letters to Houston's management company, calling Houston mommy and the supernatural reincarnation of her real mother. She sent her gifts, including underwear, a makeup kit, candy, and cake. So that is really freaky. And on the line is Art Griego talking to us, actually airborne, because I know, Art, you're a private pilot, a former commercial pilot. Welcome to our program. It's good to have you on online as you fly over. Where are you right now?
So right now, actually, I'm over Long Beach, California, and making just a couple of turns here. We'll be coming into Long Beach Airport.
Art, what is Fan Base Associates?
Fan Base Associates, we're a loose federation full of fan clubs. We exchange information about artists, artists that we like, artists that are our favorites. Britney Spears, Tom Cruise, NSYNC, Harrison Ford, Catherine Zeta-Jones, they all have fan clubs that are represented at Fan Base Associates.
So you guys are just, you like celebrities? Or?
We do. We enjoy celebrities.
Why the fast? I mean, I like celebrities. But why the fascination? Why an organization that is a federation of fan clubs?
Well, I think it's a good question. But celebrities show us how to be successful. I think, in some extent, they bring joy. They show us something to strive for. When you look at a successful artist, a successful actor, a successful anybody, they kind of tell you and they tell the rest of us how we can maybe live our lives to have some success. Whitney Houston, I would never, Phil, advocate stalking anybody. And this is a terrible story.
A lot of fans get out of whack, get out of control.
Well, a lot of fans are sick mentally. And it's obvious that the one that is involved here is mentally disturbed. But I have to tell you this, and I just say this, having been a music fan all of my life and I'm particularly a big fan of R&B, rhythm and blues. Whitney Houston hasn't had too much success recently, and I would never advocate stalking somebody. I would never advocate that. I think it's sick, and I think it's pathological, but you've got to look at Whitney Houston and ask yourself, maybe in this case, it's a good thing. I don't know if it...
What do you mean? How could stalking somebody be a good thing?
I don't think it is, but she hasn't had a hit album. She couldn't get arrested. And I mean literally couldn't get arrested. They stopped her in Hawaii with marijuana, and they didn't even arrest her. And I have to look at that. And I have to...
They didn't arrest Whitney Houston in Hawaii because I believe she went by security and got on the plane.
That's not what I heard.
Well, what did you hear?
What I heard was they didn't recognize her. They didn't care. If they'd known it was Whitney Houston, if they'd known it was somebody famous, and I think someone might have said to them, you know, this is Whitney Houston, and they're like, well, we don't care. And they let her get on the plane.
Well, I don't think that you're talking about the security at the Honolulu airport and the police. They're going to let somebody...
No, but you've heard the saying, they couldn't get arrested. That means they're not famous anymore. And what I fear for Whitney Houston, I don't think she's famous anymore. And that is a bad place. That's a bad, bad place for what once was, I'm told, a pretty good singer.
Talking to Art Griego from... You're told she was a pretty good singer? The 1991 Super Bowl, man. Did you hear the national anthem?
I heard about it. I didn't hear it.
Well, it was quite a rendition. 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego of Fanbase Associates. You're saying Whitney Houston ought to be stalked?
No, I'm saying no, she should not be stalked, but I am saying that her career has been so in the toilet, frankly, that it could only help her, I think. I think there's some celebrities that stalking would help them.
But the inherent danger of being stalked, the inherent possibility of violence.
Absolutely, Phil.
I mean, that's there's no fame in the world worth that, do you think?
I don't doubt what you're saying. I think it is. But look, all fans are potential stalkers. I think when we are fans of somebody, it's hard to hold ourselves back because their lives are not as good. Our lives are not as good as a movie star's. The natural instinct is to follow your favorite movie star and see where they live because their houses have things that fans don't have. So the natural instinct of every fan, I think, Phil, is to stalk. I'm just saying, if you're going to stalk somebody, Whitney Houston, Cameron Mannheim, some of these people whose careers are in the toilet.
Well, let's be clear about something right now. You're not recommending that anybody stalk Cameron Mannheim or Whitney.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying they could use the publicity. That's all I'm saying.
Let's get to this thing you were saying about fans. All fans are potential stalkers.
I believe we all are. I mean,
you're talking about everybody.
Well, I think everybody is, yeah, a potential stalker because we want to see how the movie stars live. And I think it's exciting. A friend of mine told me that he was looking through a fan magazine and they had a list of the things that movie stars have in their homes. And
like what?
It's pretty exciting. Jacuzzi bathtubs. They have makeup mirrors that you light up, marble floors, four-car garages, big vaulted ceilings. Just neat things that movie stars have. And I think that's the one thing a stalker sees is probably the stuff that a movie star has in his house.
But we're not condoning stalking.
No, we're absolutely not. But look at the neat stuff you see if you stalk. And if you stalk Whitney Houston, you're saving a career. So.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. Art Griego is here. We're a little bit all over the board here, Art. We wanted to come on and talk to you, and you do not approve of stalking celebrities.
I do not approve of that, no.
But you did say that every fan is a potential stalker.
Only because we want to be close to our favorite artists, and we want to see how they live. And some artists, maybe they need stalking. I don't know. I mean, you look at Ringo Starr and look at his career. He could probably use some stalking. I don't know.
Well, we're not recommending that, so...
No, we're not. But the other thing, Phil, is...
Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Tell him to hang on. I know he's in an airplane. Art Griego from Fanbase Associates. All fans are potential stalkers as far as he's concerned, and if you're going to stalk anybody, stalk Whitney Houston. She needs it. Well, no, you know, no, she doesn't. I don't think anybody does. He was also mentioning that Fanbase Associates provides a list of things that you can see if you were a stalker, things you'd see in a movie star's house. Lighted makeup tables, real marble floors in the kitchen, four-car garage, a vaulted ceiling, sport courts outside, lighted fountains in the front yard, and they also have alarm systems. So this is a list in Fanbase Associates magazine of stuff that, you know, rich people have, famous people, celebrities. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. With Art Griego, Phil Hendry on the line here. You're over Long Beach, Art?
Right now, Phil, I am, yeah.
In your private plane?
Right, I'm in Malibu, and we're just over the airport. And it's a gorgeous day after all the rain we've been having.
All right, we're talking about your organization, Fanbase Associates, and how you guys have a loose federation of fan clubs. And you believe that all fans are potential stalkers. We're talking about this Whitney Houston case.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If every fan is a potential stalker, doesn't that mean that every fan is basically a mental case?
Well, not really. I think that every fan who enjoys an artist, no matter who that artist is, wants in some way to be a part of that person's life, or they want to know a little bit more about that person. Or they want to be a part of that person's success, and it doesn't matter. It's like anybody that's listening to your broadcast right now could relate to any artist that they enjoy, anybody that they like to see in the movie theaters. This is something that they are constantly thinking about. Now, in the case of Whitney Houston, somebody just went over the line a little bit and became a little obsessed. But I think all fans are potential stalkers because they do want to see what the movie stars have in their houses, how they live, and what they do.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever stalked a celebrity?
I never really stalked a celebrity. I had a thing for a while where I was a big fan of Fuzzy Zeller's.
And who's Fuzzy Zeller?
Fuzzy Zeller is a golfer. He's a professional golfer, and I was a... quite a fan of his. But again, Phil, the line is very... there's a very fine line between liking a celebrity and tying them up and torturing them. You know? I didn't want to do that.
All right, so you didn't want to tie up Fuzzy Zeller and torture him, but you were a huge fan of his, and you were a guy that potentially could have stalked him.
Like anybody. You take a look at everybody that loves NSYNC, or you look at Britney Spears, or you look at the success around Luis Miguel or around this Enrique Iglesias. Look at the success of any great artist. There are people out there that want to be them. At Fanbase Associates, we give them a place to bounce this stuff off of them and to create something that I think is a lasting legacy.
A lasting legacy. Okay. Well, one of the things that you mentioned was that Whitney Houston needs stalking.
Houston, yeah.
Well, what do you mean she needs stalking? She's not famous enough?
I think that what we need more than anything else, Phil, is to recognize when our artists, when our stars need a little help. And right now, Whitney Houston needs some help.
But stalking's the answer.
Stalking may be the answer.
All right, well, I think what you're giving a message here is a little sick and twisted, dude.
Look at it this way. If Whitney Houston hadn't been stalked, she wouldn't be in the newspaper. And she wouldn't be on the...
What kind of press is that, man? If you're going to get stalked and have your life potentially threatened by somebody, I'm sure you'd like to be anywhere other than being famous, okay?
Well, she needs to sell some records. I mean, she needs to do something. And it's obvious to me that it's not happening for her. So what you got to do is you got to weigh the good against the bad. You have to either decide that this woman needs a little bit of ink or she doesn't. And I think a stalker can provide that.
All right, well, I got to tell you something, Art. I've never had anybody come on the air and say that people need stalking, but...
I'm not saying that it's a good thing. I'm saying sometimes it's necessary.
And what about this Rebecca Schaefer?
I'm not talking about hurting them. I just mean that...
What, climbing through the windows of their house?
I don't know if it's something that isn't going to hurt them, is all I'm saying.
All right. Good luck to you and to your organization fan base.
Well, it sounds to me like you don't approve.
I'm sorry?
It sounds to me like you don't approve.
I don't approve. I don't approve of any organization that says stalking somebody is a good thing.
I didn't say it was a good thing. I said it.
Well, you said that stalking Whitney Houston is a good thing because at least it gets her name in the newspaper.
Yes, I did say that, but it sounds to me like you're being judgmental. And
let me tell you something. That's part of what I do. Wait a second. What are you asking me the questions now?
Well, I think you're being a little judgmental and you're not understanding what it is to be a fan.
I know what it is to be a fan.
Well, let me ask you who you're a fan of.
I'm sorry?
Let me ask you this, Phil. Who are you a fan of?
I'm not a fan. I don't know. Let's say I...
Name a group.
Oh, Smashing Pumpkins.
All right. Don't you want to be who they... Don't you want to see where they live?
No, I don't want to see where they live. I like to listen to their music.
All right, well, maybe... Are you interested in what they look like?
Yeah, I'm interested in what they look like.
All right, well, that's part of it. And that's part of the alert.
Wait a second. Just because I want to see what they look like, it doesn't mean that I want to crawl in the window of their house, okay? It doesn't mean that I want to hurt them.
But it is the beginning of a stalker mentality is all I'm saying, Phil.
All right, well, I don't approve, man.
And I think you're being judgmental.
Well, I may be judgmental, but thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego with us. Talking about stalking celebrities, it might be a good thing because some of them need the ink. Don't forget about the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, number one rated Phil Henry Show, Best of the Year 2000 album, 877-616-7445. 877-616-PHIL is the number that you call, and we've raised $111,526 and a little bit of change in our My Friend's Place campaign. For the people at My Friend's Place to get all that money. So if you give us a call at 877-616-7445, you'll get a beautiful CD or possibly one of our picture disc vinyl.
I have
yes,
two
ma'am.
Comments.
Go ahead.
One of them is, how can you refer to a
again?
Diaper service?
You gave your number.
Something to do with ass when you're talking about a child.
Well, first of all, this is you're talking about adults. The children
no,
are not bringing
but
their
I
own
don't
diapers.
Need your products. My kids would, and I would never buy something that referred to as ass. They're children.
No,
and
they
second
are
of all,
diapers. They
I
are
have
for
four
adults.
Kids.
Sandwich.
Are you going to listen, or are you
no,
going to
no,
shut
me
off like you have everyone else?
I'm allowed to comment on it.
No, you've been running your mouth. Let the lady talk.
Pamela's ass wraps. 212
I have four kids, and every one of my kids has pulled off their Pampers. Every single one of them.
They hate them. Don't you get it?
No, I get it that they're curious, and that's why the little kids walk out in the snow. They're kids.
But they walked out of the snow to kill themselves. They can't stand the Pampers.
Have you never been around kids? Do you not know that kids get into everything?
Oh, see, I got it. 3 o'clock in the morning. Let's take a stroll out in the snow. Are you?
Well, apparently the mom was asleep, so she had no supervision. But you know, my kids get into everything. That's why they have child-proof locks for cabinets.
You know, lady, your children may be at risk. You have just told me that they pulled their Pampers off, that they live in the snow.
Because they're kids. I didn't say my kids go in the snow.
Where are you going?
I'm
going
to call Chopper after service.
Oh, now, wait a second.
Okay, then.
Wait
whatever.
A minute.
No, she just said her kids are pulling their underwear off in the snow. The
I didn't
thing,
say that. If you would shut your trap and listen for 2 seconds, you would have heard what I said. What I said was, my kids are able to pull their diapers off. It does not take a genius. And I also said that kids are curious. That's why they have childproof locks on things. Never been around a kid?
What are they curious about? They're pulling the Pampers off to look at what, their wiener? They've seen that a million times.
It's called curiosity. Kids get into everything. The same reason that they pull their socks off when you put socks on them. Or they take a hat off when you put a hat on them.
The only thing that sucks around here is you and your attitude. And
she said socks.
Me that people would take
ma'am,
their kids to see you.
The
you
only business that you know the only business that my family diaper says at service the only business we get lately are adult cloth diapers. And 35-year-old men. Isn't
scares
that great?
Me.
Scares
you? You scare me.
What
was knowing?
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Last night we left here, went over to the Valley to try to get some dinner. And I don't want to mention any names of restaurants because I don't know, they might be sponsors. And we're thankful if they are, and so we won't mention your name. But anyway, I went over to this place where they won't take any reservations. You know something? There's a reason why I stay out of the Valley, and I think the main reason is because I can't freaking get anything to eat there anymore. You know, I mean, everything's got like a half hour to an hour wait, which is fine. I understand people, you know, certain places are popular. What's the point of not taking any reservations, man? You got a 45-minute wait. I'm walking into this place in Woodland Hills. Really popular restaurant. Really good food, so they tell me. Hey, how you doing? We don't take any reservations, sir. Oh, okay, well, but is there a wait right now? Well, this is when I call. No, there's no wait. So we go into the place. Well, now the line's out the door. Are you one of these low blood sugar people? Because I am. Meaning when my blood sugar is low, I want to, like, drive my car through a Denny's. Not into the parking lot. I want to drive it through the restaurant itself. In any event, and after you get off the air, you know, 7 o'clock, I'm hungry. I want to go out. I want to get something to eat. You know, Maria was with me yesterday. I said, hey, you know, the kids, we got a babysitter. Hey, maybe we can spend a couple of hours together. She says, well, you want to go to the Valley? We can go over here to this place and call them up. Yeah, no, there's no wait. Let's go over. Okay, boom, we get there 40 minutes. 40 minutes is people there. And I said, geez, this is great. I mean, in other words, you got to come to the restaurant in order to see whether or not you can sit there. So you can't make a plan to go to this place if you live any more than 3 blocks away. Because otherwise you're getting in the car, you're driving, hey, let's go to this restaurant, so-and-so's. And should I say the name of the place? No, I better not, because I bet you they're sponsored. I bet you they're a sponsor. So anyway, I go over to this place, and God forbid, if they're a sponsor, I would never want to say anything bad, because then that would mean what? They'd cancel, we'd lose all that revenue, and then I'm just another jackball on the long gravy train of death. I'm just another guy that's taking food out of the mouths of the salespeople. So I'll just say, we go into this joint, it's a 40-minute wait, and it's like, forget it, man. You know how it is? Everybody's sitting there and they're going to wait 40 minutes. Let me ask you something, man. Is there anywhere you know where the wait in a restaurant's worth 40 minutes? Where? Even Ruth's Chris, which is phenomenal. It's the greatest steak I ever had. I don't know that I'm going to wait 40 minutes unless, of course, there's a nice big open seat at the bar. Then maybe I'll wait 40 minutes. Hell, I'll wait 3 hours. I may not even have dinner. I'm going to sit there, man. So we leave there. And then, well, you know, I saw a place down the street. She says, okay, follow me because we got 2 separate cars. We go down to this joint. Another well-known place. I walk in. You know, we get the valet, and I said, yeah, can we valet a car? And the guy said, you might want to go in there and check, sir, to see if you're actually going to get seated right away. So I did. I walked in, 35 minutes there. They won't take a reservation, so you got to walk into the joint to find out. Well, you know what? Where I live, every place I go to eat is thousands of miles away. I mean, we live way out. Way, way out east of, or west of the city. So everywhere I got to eat or take anybody to eat or take the family to eat is in the Valley. That's the closest place where there's restaurants. And so you drive in there and you're taking a shot. You know, you're rolling the dice. I'm never going to eat in the Valley again because I'll die. I'll starve to death before anything happens. In fact, you know what? I think I will eat in the Valley. I got about 50 pounds to lose. If you don't want to eat, you want to drop about 50 pounds, eat in the Valley. Because by the time they seat you, you'll have lost 45 of it. You know, Melissa, you're right. All I got to do is say, hey, look, I got a party at 12.
We don't take reservations.
Party at 12, okay? And my name is, I don't know, what sounds good today? How about Steven Spielberg, okay?
Oh, yes, sir, come right up.
You trying to tell me that they would not seat Steven, they wouldn't take a reservation from Steven Spielberg? Seriously, if you call him? Honest to God, these places will not take a reservation because, well, you just show up first come, first serve because that's the policy here at Merlot's, okay? I'm Steven Spielberg.
Uh-huh.
No, I really am. And here's, well, in that case, bull crap. I'm not really Steven Spielberg. I just wanted to see if you do it. Now you're really in trouble. Merlot's, hi, you got a table for 12? I'm sorry, sir, we don't take... I'm Steven Spielberg, the director of, like, Saving Private Ryan and E.T. You know, our policy is flexible. Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. They must have some kind of flexibility in that regard. They must. And I've tried it. I told you guys before, it's fun for me. I'm not embarrassed at all to call up and say, hi, I'd like to get a reservation. I'm sorry, sir. Well, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm a celebrity. I'll even say that. I'll say I'm a celebrity. Sir, do you? No, I'm a celebrity. And, well, I don't know. It happened. It did me some good one time. And it was at the old spaghetti factory down in Newport Beach. We were taking the kids. We were down there last summer. And Uncle Carlos was up from San Diego. And so we were going to take the kids to the old spaghetti factory. So we go in there. And that joint is crawling with people on a Friday night in Newport Beach. Forget it, man. In the summer, forget it. You know, it's people pouring out. They're out on the street. They're out on PCH. So I walked in and I said, hi, I'm a celebrity. Hi, can you get me a table? And she's like, oh, ha, 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 ha. You are you? Yeah, I am. I'm famous. And, well, who are you? Well, I'm Phil Hendry. Really? Yeah, and I do a radio show. Ah, ha, ha, she don't know me from a freaking hole in the wall. Until she asked one of the busboys, some guy, Jesus, he was taking the garbage out to the garbage pails or something. Hey, you know this guy, Phil Hendry? He drops the can. He goes, yeah, I know that guy. And the busboy, we got a great seat out in the garbage pails, out next to those. But it was a seat. That was the only other time it ever worked for me. But I do try it, and I will continue to do that because I don't think celebrities should get better seats, but I might as well just push my weight around. I might as well muscle people that way. You know what? Just give it a shot. Celebrities have this phony baloney sort of attitude, which is, you know, I don't give autographs, that kind of thing. The other one that's even more irritating is, oh, you know, I don't do interviews. And the one that's even more irritating is that they want to be just regular people. And all three of those things is such smoldering, moldering, fetid crap that, of course, a celebrity wants to be recognized. Of course, they want to have people ask for their autograph. And no, they don't want to be one of the regular people because they want to be able to call up and say, hi, I'm Irving Farquhar, and I'm, oh, yes, Mr. Farquhar, your table's ready. Thank you. They want to be able to do that. And I will not lie to you, I am shooting for that in my life and in my career. I want to be able to do that someday. Call up and say, yes, I'm Phil Hendry, where's my bloody table? So then we finally went over to this place we know in Westlake and sat down and started to eat. And, of course, this problem, you know, there's another problem. This joint has got a kid standing up and he's, you know, running around the table and he's bugging me, man. You know, I like kids, but they bug me when they're running around a dinner table. They just bug me when they're up and they're running around. I'm in a restaurant with my wife. You know, this, it wasn't Chuck E. Cheese. If it was Chuck E. Cheese, I would have figured it out. If it was McDonald's, I would have figured, okay, that's cool. But I'm in a restaurant. It seems to be a place where adults go. But there's this one kid running around the table, standing there, and he's acting like a little, like I could have picked this kid up and drown him. So that was, you know, I just was bummed last night from the gate. And I walked out of here feeling great. We had a really good show. I walked out and feeling great. I'm trying to get something to eat, man. And I finally said, we got to split out of here, too, until they gave us a cozy little table in the back. And they said, just for you, Mr. Hendry. I said, oh, you recognize me. He said, no, but your wife told me it would do some good if we mentioned your name. And okay, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. So did you see Temptation Island last night? I didn't. I don't know what happened. I blew it. God, did I blow it. I came home and our 11-year-old is at a camp someplace. Our 13-year-old, and I don't know where that is. Our 11-year-old right now is in a tent in some mud somewhere. Apparently he left home. He's with some hobos. And he's just hopping boxcars. No, he's doing some sleepover thing. No, I came in and the 13-year-old was watching Temptation Island. Talk about the, you know, just parental supervision and whatever it is. We got it. We are on top. Marie and I came in from dinner and there's the 13-year-old. He's watching Temptation Island. And not that there's anything on that show that's untoward. Not that I don't know. I mean, I haven't really said. I haven't seen one thing on the show that's really shocking other than the nipple-lipping incident that Mandy did with that black guy. And the interracial aspect of that was more shocking than the nipple thing. But in any event, I'm joking. But I had to throw that in for whoever, you know, agrees with me. But anyway, so you watched it, huh, Mike? I didn't see it. I feel so, I feel like scum. But I do know one thing. They're all faithful to each other. Now they are. While they were on the island, I think one or two of them, I think there's about three cases of clap, but they all love each other. And we want to just give them a round of applause, even though Kaya has got a raging case of gonorrhea. Good boy, Kaya.
Well, I don't know. You know, I was kind of hooked up with a couple of the chicks, but I think I'm going to be faithful to Valerie.
And that Valerie, does she look like she wants to commit cold-blooded murder or what? I got it all wrong. I thought Billy was the one who was going to be the serial killer. That Valerie, that goofball, she's got that model, that Kaya's a model. And Valerie, what's she do? She's a buyer for Piggly Wiggly or something? Oh, she's a real estate agent. And she's like 3 years older than him, and she's shooting daggers at anybody that even looks at this guy. And he's whatever he is. He's a real boy toy. I don't know what this cat's story is, man. He's just a kind of a little GQ, GQ Junior, Hunk Junior. Almost, you know, getting a little bit gay, but you know, okay. And didn't he say that he got hooked up with a couple of chicks on this Temptation Island? That Kaya guy, I think it would be so great if he would come back with just a moderate case of the drip. Just to say that, you know, things are
bad at Temptation Island. Fox backpedaling. Fox has had to backpedal because, well, you know, Billy's got the drip. Jesus. We're sorry, Billy. We didn't want to let it out.
You guys said you'd, you know, tell everybody that I was faithful to Mandy.
We wanted to, but what are we supposed to do when you're screaming with pain and it brings you to your knees when you urinate?
I don't know. I mean, you guys could have faked it.
Well, we're sorry, Billy.
Everybody thought that I was a good guy, man. Everybody thought that Mandy was cheating on me. Everyone thought that Billy was solid, that I really love Mandy. Now you got to tell everybody I got the drip.
Well, you do, don't you?
Well, it's just a moderate burn.
Well, you've got it.
Gee, thanks a lot, everybody. What about the confidentiality?
You didn't sign any confidentiality agreement, Billy.
You came on this show, and I thought it was going to be the nice guy. I was going to be the good guy. Well, you're not the nice guy anymore. And your girlfriend's got chlamydia, so what do you want from me? Get out of here. We don't want you on the show anymore. Go back to that thing. What are you? You're a waiter, an actor? What the hell are you doing?
Well, I'm actually, I'm waiting for Godot. I'm going to do a Shakespeare in the Park.
Shakespeare in what park? Piedmont Park? I'm an actor, which means what? Oh, well, I'm going to go to Hollywood. Okay, so you're going to be a waiter in L.A. instead of Atlanta. All right, good for you. And then Mandy, where's she back in Atlanta? And Billy came out here? Yeah, things are going strong. I love you, baby, but I got to take advantage of this big shot. By the way, I called Fox today just for kicks. Not because we wanted to get any of these people on the show, but just for laughs. When I'm depressed and a lot of times I'm irritated with how our show prep process is going, I'll just call up the publicity departments of the different studios and harass them. Just, hi, this is Phil Hendry, or sometimes I'll call myself Art Bell, and I'll bother them, you know. And I called Fox today and said, so what's the story with this Mandy and why Tossie and all these cats, man? You want to get them on the show? Well, Mr. Hendry, they're doing what? But come on. Well, they're doing a lot of interviews. They're doing a lot of interviews. This guy was playing it like I was trying to get to the Queen of England. Oh, well, they're doing this and they're doing that. I'm telling you, the cat that I talked to at Fox is telling me, you can't get near these guys because they got big-time interview appointments, and they're going to be, they're doing whatever they're doing, television, and they've got a shot on USA Today, did a piece on Mandy, and it's, boy, we'll talk to you Friday. Well, excuse me. I said, what are you talking about, man? These guys got a shelf life. I said, these guys have a shelf life of about 6 months. He goes, actually 2 minutes. I said, I won't give your name on the air. So how about we get an interview with these guys? Well, I'll call you Friday. Hey, Mike, don't answer the phone Friday. You know what? Fox, I understand, has booked all these people on the Arsenio Hall show. So that's a really good move. Oh, they're off the air? Well, what anyway? What's Fox? Put them on Mad TV. Anyway, as it turns out, as I was told this morning when I walked in, they're all faithful to each other, and they want to make a go of it. They all want to go back to civilization, and they want to stay together, and they don't ever want to go through the hellish, the rotten, the foul, the living hell of being on Temptation Island. And by the way, I understand that Mark Wahlberg went to hug a couple of the girls, and they blew him off and just got on the boat and got the hell out of there. Oh, that's the other thing the guy at Fox told me. Mark Wahlberg is available. I said, I don't want him. What do I want to talk to him for? Well, Mr. Wahlberg, no, he's going to come on here. He's going to finesse me. He's going to give me the whole producer pitch. I'm sure he's a very nice man, but I want to talk to the regular. Not that I would know what to do if they came in here. We were going to do it. We were going to goof on him. But then I said, ah, screw it, man. Who needs to negotiate that gauntlet? But the moral of the story is this, and it's okay. I suppose there's a little bit of jealousy sort of raging in my veins a bit over the whole idea that all you have to do is get on television, look stupid, and drink a few pina coladas, and I don't, you know, and just and do that for 13 weeks or whatever it was, and you'll be, you know, you'll be on the late night with whoever's hosting late night these days. And the fact of the matter is, what did they do? They just got on, they looked dumb, drank some pina coladas, got a case of the drip, and got out of there. I would love, come on, Fox, come clean. Who's got the gonorrhea? Tonight. Who would do that? Inside Edition? Somebody's got to dig the dirt up on that. The Globe? I would love to see the headline, Billy with the drip. Hard copy, if you'll pardon the expression. You know, lick a stranger's nipple and do it in front of, boom, you're on the Greg Kilborn show in front of 30 million, 40 million people. Anyway, they're all together and they're all doing fine and they're going to have to come up with another premise for next year because everybody's going to figure that it's, they're all going to be faithful. Am I right or am I wrong? Everybody's going to do the same thing. So, I don't know. And then the other thing I watched last night, because I watch my TV, I get a shot to watch television every now and again when everybody's asleep, so I can come downstairs 10 o'clock and see some television. And I flip the tube on. All the kids are asleep. My wife's asleep. And I'm very boring, as you can probably tell. And I watch the History Channel. You know, that's my thing. That's how exciting life is for me. And I'm watching the history of Britain last night. I woke up with a stiff neck this morning because the guy that hosts this show is some English professor with a tweed jacket and, you know, the elbow patches. And he's talking like this, and his head is moving all over the place. In 1066 at Hastings, William the Conqueror, and the head's going up and down and everything. And, man, I'm trying to follow this guy. Some kind of a weird... This is this guy's M.O. in class when he's giving a lecture. His head's all over the place. You ever see these guys when they're pitching a product on TV? Yes, now you too can do the thing. See, if you've ever gotten any coaching for television commercials, they tell you, use your hands and use your head. So you see a lot of people with the hands doing this and the heads moving all over the place. So I, you know, vertebrae went out of whack and now I'm dizzy watching this dumb stuff. By the way, the History Channel gave us an idea. How about the Hitler Channel? Because that's all that they have. Other than the history of Britain, then they go back to Joseph Goebbels and Adolf Hitler, and Hitler when he was young, Hitler midlife, Hitler retiring, and Hitler playing AAA ball. It's all there on the Hitler Channel. All right, 1-800-449-8686 with $111,526 in the bank. This is the Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD, 877-616-7445. Phil Henry Show, and you know there was an earthquake in Seattle yesterday at 6.8. Bob McGraw had been on with us yesterday talking about his earthquake emergency kits. We do want to talk from the environmental standpoint. Jeff Dowder has got a line still open there. We got a line open to Art's plane. Is he still in it? Art? All right. Maybe he's not in the airplane anymore. There's an airplane up there with nobody in it, so you might somebody call a tower, any tower, a water tower. Get somebody up there. Get somebody up. Anyway, we have on the line with us from Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I hope there's not a plane flying over my house without a pilot in it.
I don't think so. Tell us a little bit, Jeff. I know you work with a variety of environmental groups.
That's correct, Phil. We work with Animal Watch, Friends of the Forest, and the Waterfall Foundation, as well as maintaining a pretty keen interest in some of the Eastern systems of philosophy, which I studied about this earthquake. I am a Christian, but I do believe in a spiritual connection between religious enlightenment and the use of the herbs. So
that means you're a Christian who smokes marijuana?
I do use marijuana. And the reason why I say that is I think that you can have a connection to God and use marijuana. I don't think there's anything that's necessarily wrong about that, but I want to be upfront about that because it's part of our environmental belief.
All right, you mentioned that earthquakes are in the Bible. Do you think that every single earthquake has a biblical connection?
I think you're right. Earthquakes are in the Bible, and God may be looking down on the city of Seattle and on the people of the western part of the United States with a little bit of disfavor. But I think more to the point, I think you've seen in the United States over the last 10 years a sort of lemming rush to the corporate machinations of Starbucks, which is a coffee company out of Seattle, Washington, with offices in and around the 50 contiguous United States. Corporate offices is in Seattle, but they're not offices where you buy coffee.
No, I know, a coffee stand. They have coffee stands.
Yes, coffee stands as well as some of the other products that they sell. And I think that it's possible that there is some dissatisfaction, perhaps, with the Starbucks infiltration of the corporate culture.
All right, is God looking with disfavor on Starbucks?
I think that, again, I come from the Eastern mystic orientation, but the Bible does tell us that there will be earthquakes in diverse places.
And I mean, are we on the verge of Armageddon, the end of the world? And
Phil, I don't want to go that far. The end of the world could take another 300, 400 years. It could take another 1,000 years. It could take another 5 minutes. But I think you've got to look at it and say that's, first of all, Seattle having an earthquake. Is way, I never heard of that. Also, that...
Well, they had one 52 years ago.
52 years ago they had it, which was a strong one, but I don't think you necessarily associate it. The other thing, though, is that Starbucks, if you look at the corporate logo, there is a woman with a queen, a woman with a queen's crown on her head. And I think you look at that, and you have to ask yourself, is that some kind of a blasphemy?
All right, well, Jeff, why is the corporate logo of Starbucks a blasphemy? And again, I want you to define for me how you feel God is upset with Seattle and creating an earthquake, okay?
Well, first of all, I think that, it usurps the role of God in the universe. And the other thing that I think that Starbucks does is, and I think it needs to be said, it bastardizes. I've talked at length about I do use herb, and I think the herb is good because it does transcend a certain mental state. But I think the bastardization of the bean that Starbucks has been associated with, because I'm an environmentalist, and Starbucks has molested the bean. And
all right, when you talk about the molestation of the bean, you're talking about a coffee bean?
I'm talking about an aspect of our environment. Yes, I am. And again, the vast majority of people who go to Starbucks are fairly predictable people. They're corporate lemmings. They're drawn to Starbucks because their friends go there. Their friends go there because they don't know any better. The Starbucks logo sucks people in. The woman has a crown emblematic of usurping God's role in the universe. And this is something I discovered working with Toby Bowe and another friend of mine, Scott Donlin. So when you drive by a Starbucks, bow your head for the lemmings inside, because the coffee bean's being raped.
All right, Jeff Dotter is with us. Your idea that the earthquake in Seattle is somehow God's dissatisfaction with Starbucks.
That, in my opinion, it's a dissatisfaction of a universal energy with Starbucks.
And the people that go to Starbucks are lemmings.
In my opinion, yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to give our number here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Dotter is an environmentalist and also a religionist, a study of spiritual matters, Eastern mysticism.
Zen, Tao Te Ching, I've read the Tao Te Ching. I've seen a paper on the Tao Te Ching as well as Zen Buddhism.
All right, now, I'm sure it wouldn't surprise you to know that I go to Starbucks.
I mean, no, it doesn't surprise me because I think that's the culture that you're in. You're in sort of a corporate culture.
I mean, I'm an educated man, and I love my family, and I think I'm a free thinker, but I go to Starbucks. You're saying that I'm not?
I'm not saying that you're not. I'm saying that people who go to Starbucks have sort of suspended. It's hard for me to say this to you because I know you to be a guy who is, you know, you can't be an independent thinker, but I think you've really let yourself down when you go to Starbucks. I mean, nobody realizes the raping of the bean that Starbucks has done and why God sent the vengeance to Seattle in the form of the 6.8 quake. But the fact is, if you allow the bean to get molested, and that
you say, because I go to Starbucks and I have a cup of coffee there, then I'm allowing the raping of the bean and therefore a raping of a part of our environment. I just don't see it that way.
No, when you're standing in line at Starbucks, you don't see yourself. The people who stand in line at Starbucks don't see themselves. They just stand there itching for their fix, waiting to do their duty to the crowned queen of the bean, Cafe Americano, all of the different coffee latte, all of the bean being raped. And
okay, when you say the rape of the bean,
I'm talking basically, Phil, about the, you know, cafe latte, Americano, Cubano. I don't mean there's nothing wrong with running water through coffee. That's fine. But if you have an espresso latte, you just committed, in my opinion, an unnatural act on the bean. And a frappuccino is a personal assault to God and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And
wow, man, you are.
What?
I mean, you're.
No, I know it's really far out, but I'm also saying that's what all you lemmings who go to Starbucks do, and you don't think about the consequences. You don't think about standing there and...
Look, if people are going to get in line and be fans of whatever... people stand in line for Disney. Does that make them lemmings?
That's a whole different subject. I mean, Disney at least... But Starbucks, you know how many different coffee places there are? You know how many different coffee places you can go to get coffee? There's Coffee Bean, there's the Tea Leaf, there's Caribou, there's Seattle's Finest. You know, there's a million different places a guy go. But to stand in line at Starbucks means you have given up what's left of your free will. You just turned it over. And in my way of thinking, I think it's a disgrace to people who consider themselves independent of corporate culture.
Jeez. You know, dude, you sound like some freaking leftist hippie radical dude who...
Yeah, I know, man. You know, I'm messing your world up a little bit here, man. I'm sorry.
No, that's not it. You don't make any sense, man. You're talking to me about...
Well, you're worshiping the Frappuccino by standing in line at Starbucks instead of spending time studying the Word of God. And that is important.
I mean, look, call me a lemming if you want to.
Can you deny it?
I guess I'm a lemming. I go and I stand in line at Starbucks, but I will not ever believe that my eating or having a cup of coffee at Starbucks caused the Seattle earthquake.
Well, it's a corporate thing, man, that rapes the culture, that displeases God, and it's in the Bible, okay?
So me and all the other people are going to cafe latte as opposed to just a regular cup of coffee. We caused the earthquake.
In my opinion, I think that there is a spiritual connection between the earthquake in Seattle and the biblical prophecy of earthquakes toward the end times, and I think it's brought on by this worship of the of Starbucks and the subsequent molestation and sodomization of the bean, you know, as opposed to having a regular cup. What?
Hold on, man. Okay, that's great. But we're knocking it out of the park today. This guy is... If you're going to tell me that because I have a cafe latte at Starbucks, I'm raping the bean, and as a result, I'm causing the Seattle earthquake, I got to ask you, where in the Bible does it say that? I know the Bible talks about earthquakes. This guy, who's an environmentalist named Jeff Dowder, believes that God is upset with Starbucks. And that's why Seattle got an earthquake. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, talking with Jeff Dowder, who is a environmentalist, about the Seattle earthquake. You're a spiritualist, though, too, aren't you, Jeff?
I'm a spiritualist. I'm a man. I believe in God. And I'm a Christian.
And your smoking of the herb, as you call it, is definitely a... how can I go to line one when there's nothing on line one?
What?
Nothing. Nothing. It's just the days of freaking abortion. How can you be talking about being a Christian and smoke marijuana?
First of all, I'm going to trip over that whole comment you made about an abortion because...
Never mind. It's just a comment, okay?
Well, I don't think the herb is inconsistent with... I don't think the herb is inconsistent with, you know, the Bible, and it helps open up our eyes.
And smoking the herb opened your eyes to the belief that, what, that...
It opened my eyes to the belief that the bean's being raped.
That the bean, meaning Starbucks, is being raped.
That's correct.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Joseph on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, he said that he smokes pot.
I smoke the herb, yes, sir.
Well, isn't that the same thing as you saying us that we're molesting the coffee bean?
No, because the coffee bean's being perverted. If you go to Starbucks, you can get coffee like 90 different ways.
If I go down to the corner, I can get pot 90 different ways.
No, it's basically the same herb that's being grown out of God's earth.
Now, you're being hypocritical when you say that we're raping the coffee bean and you're sitting there saying that you smoke pot.
Because I'm smoking marijuana in the essential form that the Lord gave it to us. The bean's being molested. Every time you go to Starbucks, you get Cafe Cubano or the latte, too.
Well, next time you go down to the corner, don't ask for anything like the Columbia Gold or anything like that.
Yeah, well, that's a different... It's like saying... It's totally different, man. It's like saying... Okay, I like a bean from Sumatra, or I like a bean from South America. Colombian gold or whatever, or, you know, Humboldt gold, or, you know, Panama red, or ganja. And those are all different herbs grown in different parts, but I'm not putting them through, I'm not serving them up with cream and steamed milk. See, that's all I'm saying, bro. And you got to understand, Starbucks, God doesn't dig it.
God doesn't.
I don't think God's out there digging people smoke pot either.
How do you figure, man? There's nothing.
Does the Bible say anything about not smoking weed?
No.
Does the Bible say anything about not drinking coffee?
I didn't say don't drink no coffee, did I? I said Starbucks is trying to take over God. That's what I said. And you need you need to be more to listen better.
Okay, thank you. Starbucks is trying to take over God.
I think in a lot of ways there's a. If you look at the corporate symbol of the woman who has a crown on her head, that's usurping the role of the god.
I had a question to ask you. I want to get over to another call, though. Marcia, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, I'd like to reply to Jeff. He was talking about that the Bible didn't say anything about not smoking the weed.
That makes no reference to
it. It absolutely does. Yes, it does. Where? In the Old Testament, in the King James Version, it definitely says that you're not to partake of the filthy weed.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Tell me where.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, you don't even know the quote. You're just coming up with that, okay?
Well,
I'm not. I can tell you in the Bible, though, where you can find that the earthquakes mean that the world's coming to an end.
Jeff, you had your turn, so let me tell you something.
I had my turn, but you can't cite the space in the Bible where it says the weed.
What part of the Bible, Marcia, does it say that?
Pardon me?
Where does it say that in the Bible?
I can't tell you what book. If
yeah,
I was going to be calling
man.
In, I would have found it.
She's
because...
making it up.
No, I'm not. No,
well,
I have no reason to make it up.
Well, have you got a Bible sitting there?
No, I don't. In fact,
you don't
even read
the Bible, man. Do you even own one?
I know the Bible very well, but the
How
thing about
you know
it is...
How can you know it if you don't read it?
If he wants to argue his case when he's not under the influence of the weed,
hey,
then I would
you know
give
what?
Some credence to his
argument. At least I got a Bible
argument.
Here, and I'm not making claims that I can't back up. The Old Testament, by the way... got thrown out when Jesus got put up on the cross.
Well, that qualifies your argument right there. The thing I'm saying is,
see?
It says nowhere in the Bible anything about what you do with a coffee bean. And if you can read
yeah,
that into
it
that,
says,
you're stretching.
It says, It says that the earthquakes is caused because of the end of the world.
And because God, of raping coffee beans?
Well, God is displeased. Why did he hit Seattle? Why did he hit Seattle? Why did he hit Seattle?
You're telling all of us that God laid an earthquake on Seattle because Starbucks is molesting coffee beans.
I think it's part of our environment. Yes, sir, I do.
That is so preposterous.
Well,
it's
you know,
Marcia,
you came up with a quote out of the Bible that you can't back up.
No, I didn't come up with a quote.
And lying is a sin against God. So if you can find it, tell us where it is.
If I'll look it up and I'll call the show back.
Well, Marcia made a good point. What about the coffee bean?
In Hezekiah chapter 4, verse 20.
In what?
Hezekiah.
There's not a book, Hezekiah.
You don't even own a Bible.
Yes, I do. There's not a book, Hezekiah.
Well, go get your Bible and tell me.
Now, in the book of what?
Ezekiel or Hezekiah?
In Ezekiah 4:20, don't molest the bean. You know, it's really disrespectful, I think, to God and to Jesus who died on the cross.
Look it, dude. What's the name of the book?
I said Ezekiel.
There's not a Hezekiah, Phil. There's a Hezekiah and there's an Ezekiel.
Hezekiah.
Now, which one is he talking about?
Well, how do you spell it, Jeff?
H-E-Z-I-K-I-A-H.
That's
Hezekiah.
If he was a Bible student, he would know that.
Okay, so you lied a second time. You lied a second time, Marcia. After God gets done with Seattle, he's coming for you.
Well, I'm ready for him,
so
I'm not afraid of that.
All right, thank you, Marcia, very much for your call. And I would, if I were you, apologize to this lady.
Why?
I think that threatening kind of crap.
I don't mean nothing by it. I'm just saying she said there wasn't no Hezekiah.
It's called Hezekiah, apparently. That's why she said there wasn't no Hezekiah.
Well, Mr. Henry, what I'm trying to say, though...
And what do you mean chapter 4, verse 20 says don't molest the bean?
You look it up. You don't believe me.
We got that Bible in the office?
I heard you on your show one day say that they got you a Bible.
Go grab that Bible and see if it says, don't molest the bean in Hezekiah. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Kathy, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
This guy's an idiot.
Not gonna see you.
Okay, Kathy, we got a rule on the Phil Henry Show. When you start off a phone call calling somebody a name...
You tell her, Phil.
Shut up. When you start your phone call off calling somebody a name, you've already sort of, like... You've lost your argument, you know?
I apologize.
You know, whenever you call me, it sticks on you.
Well, okay, then I'm an idiot, too, okay?
Okay, good. Let's start from there.
All right, well, now we got to...
So we're both idiots.
Hold on, because now we got to... Both of you... What am I? This is a nut house. 1-800, we'll be back. Kathy, hang on. You hang on, Mr. Doubter. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. One 800 449 8686. Phil Henry Show. By the way, do we have a web? Do we have an email address for that Tiger Lilies request we made at the start of the show, Mike? And it's Phil Tiger Lilies. So here's what you do: if you have a Tiger Lily CD that you want to trade a Phil Henry CD for, and we'll give you a Phil Henry Best of the Year 2000 CD, send us your email address to PhilTigerLilies@yahoo.com. PhilTigerLilies@yahoo.com. And Lilies is spelled LILLIES. So PhilTigerLilies@yahoo.com. And we will, depending on how many people send us an email, we'll just pull one at random, and that'll be the person we communicate with, okay? 1-800-449-8686. On the line is, we still have Art Griego's plane flying around with no pilot in it. So we're looking for him. And on the line is Jeff Doubter. He's an environmentalist from San Diego. He's talking to us about the earthquake that you pin on Starbucks because of their greedy corporate culture. Now, you said you were going to find something because Starbucks, in your opinion, rapes the bean.
Phil, right here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the bean out of thine own eye. Okay, thank you. Now that is,
well, now where is that? Matthew?
That's Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. So what they're saying is, cast the beam out of your own eye, then we'll talk, okay? Basically. So there's my biblical thing, but the lady named Marcia, she lied because she's not even, she don't even read the Bible, man.
All right, let me go back to the lady who's been hanging on patiently here. Kathy, go ahead.
Okay. God's not mad at Starbucks or anything else.
Okay, the you're going to have to back that statement up.
The world revolves all the time. And
okay, back it up.
We have problems in our earth.
Okay, well, I just backed up my statement.
And
all right, Kathy, thanks for calling. I didn't think she really had much to say when I first talked to her. Here is Amy on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi. She didn't have very much to say when we first talked.
I already said that. Amy, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling. I mean, God...
If you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, cast the beam out of your own eye.
God would not allow Starbucks if it was something bad. I mean...
Are there porno movies? Is
okay.
there murder? God
yeah,
allows
but God
a lot
doesn't
of bad.
God doesn't cause murder or porno. People, sin nature does that.
Well, God
it's not
didn't.
God.
I don't believe that God caused Starbucks. I believe that people
I believe God gave somebody a talent to open a Starbucks and said, okay, you know, you're going to open a Starbucks, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I don't believe, you know, an earthquake causes from the ground.
Well,
know,
now Amy, Amy made a good point, Jeff, that God gave someone the talent to create a Starbucks.
Okay, so you're saying God gave someone the talent to molest a bean.
To
I don't
molest
think that
a bean?
The coffee bean.
No, no.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
read it
no.
and weep. Read it and weep.
No, no, because, read it and weep.
Hey,
I mean,
do you read the Bible? It
I
says
do.
That earthquakes are caused in the Bible.
It, yes, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, the Bible says there's going to be earthquakes, Jeff. It doesn't say they're going to be caused because Starbucks went into business and didn't use a bean right.
Then what about casting the bean out of your eye?
All right, I'm looking at the... I've got my Bible here, and I don't have the quote in front of me. But you say it's in there?
It's in there. Amy.
Yeah?
Are you in a high school Bible group?
No, I'm not. I'm out of high school.
You out of... Oh, really? You sound very youthful.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm only 23, so...
Well, you should join some new high school Bible group.
Yeah. You think so?
And yeah, because you don't know what time it is.
I don't know what time
okay.
it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
What time do you have?
All right. Thanks a lot, Amy. 1-800-449-86.
Why'd you hang up on her, man? She sounded sweet, and she was.
Because I gotta move on. Here is Karina, Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, I'm
yes,
calling.
Ma'am.
I just want to address the gentleman there. I personally, I don't like Starbucks. I think that Starbucks is very corporate. It's very impersonal, and I
right.
have other places that I like to drink coffee
exactly,
at.
Exactly, man. You always see the people lined up.
Let the lady finish, please.
But I also want to say, as far as is this molesting of the bean and the raping of the bean and then the statements that you're making, you might as well say anytime you put lettuce on a sandwich shop's molesting the lettuce.
No.
Why?
Wrong, because you're not doing anything to the lettuce.
Okay, good point. So what
okay.
about when you mash potatoes? Or what about when you put spices inside the yams? Or any time you cook anything that's alive,
you know,
not to mention that burning ganja or whatever is still,
ganja,
you're burning it, you're killing it. Whatever
I believe that's the way God intended.
Living it is not living
but
anymore.
But that's not changing the basic nature of the ganja.
What about when you put spices in when you make a pumpkin pie?
Well, what, Karina's point about mashed potatoes.
Okay. You have a very good point. I can't fight all the battles. What I'm saying is the Lord gave us the herb, and he gave us the bean. And there's a lot of bad stuff being done. I'm concentrating right now on trying to give the bean a break, or I mean trying to save it. Nobody gives a crap about lettuce. You can't rape something that wants to be raped. Because it,
what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah?
Okay,
you want to laugh about it, man, but lettuce gives itself over willingly to the sandwich.
I have a question for you.
No, you know something, man?
Are you God?
Wait a second.
Do you know what God thinks? Do you think that God might possibly have a few better things to do on this earth?
Oh, really?
About,
then how come it says in the...
What about molestation of young children that are out there, or
yeah,
raping of women?
That's bad,
don't you
too.
Think that God is a little bit more concerned with humans
I
than,
think that God
beings.
Is concerned with raping of children. I think he's concerned with the molestation of the bean. I think raping women is probably third on that list.
What are you talking about, man? You just got done saying that lettuce gives itself over willingly to the...
Okay, Mr. Henry, I come believing in the word of Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God. And I believe
okay,
that this is
too.
Part of the persecution of Christians.
Wait.
No, sir, I want to finish what I'm saying.
No, wait. Don't give me this persecution of the Christian thing. You said to me that...
Okay, Mr. Henry, I want to say that I believe in Jesus.
You said you believe that lettuce can't get raped. You're talking about beans that can get raped. You're saying all kinds of... Starbucks is trying to usurp the position of God. What's wrong with me questioning these kooky, way-out concepts, man?
And I do have one more statement, if I can, really quick.
Everybody's talking except me, so go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, right, man. Like,
sorry,
you ain't talked enough.
Take your time, but you've had a little bit of time. Let me just say this real quick. I understand where you're coming with Starbucks and it being corporate and all that. I truly understand that.
Right.
I will not go to Starbucks.
Right.
However, as far as the God that I understand, the God that I understand doesn't come down and strike a city because they have a Starbucks or they have a corporate Starbucks. Things happen in life. The world revolves. There is a thing called gravity. Things shift. Things move.
You know, Karina,
as far as there being a corporate, shoot, you might as well say that anybody that has anything that's corporate. How about a corporate radio station or how about a corporate... Anything, Apple computers, anything. You might as well say that every place on the earth that has anything corporate, better look out.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
No, because Starbucks is the only corporation that I'm aware of that willingly sodomizes the bean.
Okay, so what about all these places, as far as ganja goes, ganja
wants to be burned. If I didn't light up a spliff, it'd find a way to light its own self up.
You just need a few more interests and you'll be just fine.
No, man, I got all the life I need. Check out Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. Check it out.
All right. With that, I got to go. Karina, thank you.
I'm going to go get a cafe latte right now. Thanks,
Phil. Go ahead and lock it out. Oh, look at that. She wants to go and play bad with the bean. You know, hold on for a minute. Okay.
What are you doing now? What are you doing now?
What's it sound like, man?
Oh, okay. We're molesting some ganja?
Don't be talking like that, man. I'm not making the ganja do nothing that it don't want to do. Ooh, yeah. Why did fish break up? Why?
All right, man. That's really sweet.
Oh, you're locking it out now? You're hanging up?
Yeah, man. I'm hanging up on you. And as soon as I get that Matthew chapter 7, verse 5... Cast the bean out of your own eye. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. So you want me to tell the story about the bikers that used to live behind me when I had the apartment and they lived behind and they got an okay and I received stolen property. Okay. I mean, I don't know if it was stolen or not. But I had an apartment and actually a duplex. I can't even describe where it was. There was like a horse stable. It was in a canyon. It was something out of Rawhide. It was Dr. Quinn Medicine Man. Anyway, I was there, and when I was a disc jockey, I used to go to these promo records. What a promo record is,
if you work at a radio station that plays music, you get free albums. You get promotional copies for you to play on the air. And sometimes they send over records that, frankly, nobody wants. Sometimes they send over records that are duplicates of the ones you're playing, yada, yada, yada. And they always got passed out to the DJs. Our music director would have these big mail slots, and she'd put these albums in our mail slot. Well, at the end of a good 12-month period, you got a lot of records. You got a ton of these. Now, some people I know in the business would go to these record exchange places and trade them for cash. You're not supposed to accept promo copies for sale, but, you know, that's what you're not supposed to do. By the way, what record store is that we're going to go to after work, Craig, to buy all my records back? Thank you. You're not supposed to, but a lot of guys do. So I had these records, and these guys used to live behind me. I call them bikers because they rode Harleys, and they had funny-looking tattoos, and they shot their guns up at night. But they were nice guys. And like in the middle of the night, 3 in the morning, they'd come wheeling out of their apartment just, "Okay, if you don't think I hit it, bull crap, put that can on your head. Now, wait a minute, you guys. You don't have, come on, Phil, it's okay. Don't do it. He's telling me that I can't shoot the can off his head at 50 feet. Ha, 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 ha. Look at you guys. I'm just trying to sleep. If you shut up, no, just this one thing and we'll shut up. Don't shoot the can off. Shut up. Go to bed. So, you know, anyway, guy comes to my apartment one day. He says, "Hey, Phil, I know that you got some records. You know, you got a lot of albums and stuff." "Yeah, I do." He says, "Would you be willing to trade? Could we go through your records and in exchange we'll trade?" I said, "Sure. You know, I will barter it out if you want. Half these records, I don't even play them." So the next day, these guys come to my apartment door, and they've got, I'd say, about $250 worth of filet mignon. I mean the kind that's right off the rib. Gorgeous, man. It's all frozen. I don't know how many steaks I cut out of this thing. After the course of the summer, I had nothing but steaks all summer long. And I let these guys go through my records. And frankly, they got rid of half of the crap I didn't want anyway and really thinned it out. And I had steaks all summer long. It's a beautiful deal. You know, but unfortunately, that can trick didn't work out. One of them died and I had to leave. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what they were doing, but it was, so they probably was trying to blow a shot glass off of somebody's head like 100 paces or something. I had to get out of there. I mean, late at night, when you're living someplace, don't you think it's just a tad disquieting to hear gunshots at 3 in the morning, even if it is just target practice? So I split out of there, man. And that just, that was such a weird place to live. I rented this little apartment over a tack shop for a stable. I was living in the middle of horses. And on Saturdays, all these women would come to ride the horses. And so naturally, what I did is I dragged my little deck chair up on the roof of my apartment, sit there with a couple of Coors, and watch this whole thing take place. You know, that was my entertainment on a Saturday morning. I'd watch all of the women and their daughters arrive, and because they boarded their horses at this place, and they'd go right around the ring, or they'd go up into the trail, and I just sit up there watching. "Hi, Phil." "Hi, Mrs. Joe." "Right, nice. You're writing English today. That's great. Now, that done none of that side saddle." "I'm just kidding." And, oh, yeah, you know, and then, you know, we got to know each other very well. And I had to leave town shortly thereafter because one of them was married. But it was really, no, I mean, that was what I did. It was kooky. I didn't even have a phone. I just would eat this filet mignon. I'd listen to the records that I had left from this trade. I'd watch the women riding the horses and not phone anybody. So that was my life. Anyway, we looked up that quote in the Bible. It don't say cast the freaking bean out of your eye. It says beam. So this whole thing about how Starbucks is raping the bean, wrong. Although I will say now, and I said it to Jeff, I am a Starbucks junkie. I do go there for the latte. I do go there for my little decaf or calf or whatever the hell I want. My wife gets the non-fat. I'm standing in line. Those cats that work the counter at Starbucks, dude, this ain't cocktail, okay? Just make me the freaking coffee. Do you notice? Is it my imagination that some of those guys have just a little bit of an attitude going on? You know what I'm talking about? You go into Starbucks, give me the coffee. "Yo, cafe latte, latte, hey, hey, what's up, man? You know, what are you guys, like movie stars? You're making coffee." There's a whole thing. It's like I walk into Starbucks and I walk out of there with a cup of coffee and I'm grateful. That's wrong. That's wrong. They're putting that on me. They're putting that on me. Oh, excuse me. The people that work the cashier, the people that work the cash register, they're not cashiers. They're baristas? What is that, some southern Mexico revolutionary group? A barista? Viva barista! What are you talking about, a barista? You know what? Take your barista and... They made the name up? Oh, boy. Well, you know what? It's all illusion. That's part of the sales pitch. You create a symbol of something. You really get people to buy in. I had to tell you something. They're beautiful. And how about this now? You notice everybody's selling music? Let me ask you a question. I walk in to get coffee, and they got a CD there. What's this? That's coffee music. Coffee music? I don't understand. Well, let's just put it on. I put it on. It's like all Italian singing with accordions. Now, I don't know about you, but when I drink coffee, do we got some at Starbucks? When I drink coffee, I'm generally either reading the newspaper or I'm watching television. I'm not necessarily in a music mood. I'm not saying that I'm not in a music mood. Last time I ever drank coffee and listened to music, I smoked some hash, too. And that's a lot of years ago. Here, look at this. I got this at Starbucks. There's no CD in it. Nah, the CD's not in it. Whatever. Doesn't make any difference. The name of the CD is Celtic Tides, a musical odyssey. It's Irish harp music. Who says I got to listen to that when I'm drinking a coffee? Melissa tells me the barista is for the signs in the window advertising for help wanted. It sounds better than coffee whore. Barista wanted as opposed to coffee whore. Anyway, that's very cruel, and I don't endorse that point of view. But it was funny. The whole trip with these guys, and you got to buy. Guess where else you can buy music now? Pottery Barn. What's going on? What's going on? Come on, somebody. In other words, I'm going to go to a Pottery Barn. I'm going to get, like, one of those cheap, well, not that Pottery Barn sells things that are cheap, but it's, let's call it an inexpensive ceramic flower holder of some kind. And, oh, yeah, get your Pottery Barn music, which turns out it's Keeley Smith. It's like some Louis Prima stuff. It's whatever they say it is. While you're, you know, dishing through this little thing, while you're getting yourself some flour and making some cookies, Louis Prima is the way to go. Louis Prima is the cat you're supposed to listen to when you're drinking coffee. Says who? Why, because he's Italian? Name the place where you can... I bet you they got music you can buy on checkout at Vons now. I don't know. It's something to eat a... It's something to rape a lettuce leaf by. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Oh, here's some of the people from Premier standing outside looking appropriately bored to hell. Dr. Laura's not on the air, I know, but this is second best, right? Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show, the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And we are very happy to bring to you this hour, part 9 in our 14-part series on male sexuality. And we're going to be talking here this hour with another representative of the world out there, I guess, life in general. Chris Norton is an aspiring film producer. He is currently a telemarketer for a major pharmaceutical company in the South Bay. And Chris will get him up on the line and talk to you guys as well about sexuality and healthy aspects to male sexuality in this our 14-part series. And Chris, thank you for joining us on the program.
It's my pleasure, and I have to say, Phil, I'm a terrific fan of your show.
Thank you. Chris, in your bio it says that you have slept, and I'm going to go right to it, okay?
Yes, sir.
In your bio, it says that you have slept with over 946 women. Would you consider yourself an expert? And what is the key to your attractiveness to women? How do you keep your sexuality?
Well, I've been interested in seeing the basically the misinformation about circumcision corrected.
Okay.
I am not circumcised, and I noticed you didn't say anything.
Didn't say what?
Well, I said that I was uncircumcised, and you didn't comment.
That's fine. Why? Do you usually get a reaction?
I usually do get a reaction, yeah.
Well, I'm not reacting, so you're uncircumcised.
By the way, that bio is a few weeks old. You said 946. It's 979.
Okay, 970. You've slept with 979 women. Now, have we got everything straight so you can answer my question? What is it about you that you think makes women attracted to you?
First of all, I am uncircumcised, and I can tell every man out there who may not know it or who may feel differently about it, based upon my experience, women love it. They love the fact that...
Women like men who are not.
Women like men who are not circumcised, yes, sir.
Okay, that I'll tell you, that's a news flash to me, because...
I know, because there's been a lot of misinformation about it. I mean, there's a lot of people who think that women do not like uncircumcised men. And
Let me ask you something, because there's been a lot of discussion about the so-called unhygienic aspect.
Well, I mean, it's very sexy, I think, for women. But let's talk a little bit about that, Phil. That's misinformation, too, about uncircumcised men not being hygienic. It's very sexy for a woman to bathe her man. This tradition has come to us from Japanese culture. And in my life, in my sexual life, I have washcloths in my apartment for different women to use. And I also have handy wipes and wet naps that I keep in my car. And all of that is for the woman to share in the sexuality.
So you're saying that a woman bathing her man, pardon me, before sex is a sexy thing, and I don't doubt that.
Yes, sir.
But you're also throwing into the mix here the fact that you're not circumcised. So taken all together, it's a tough one for us to understand.
Well, it's tough, I think, Phil, for you to understand, and it may be tough for a lot of your listeners to understand, because you're not, I mean, I know you're married. I know a lot of the guys out there probably have active sex lives, but take it from, believe me, I've had a very, very active sex life. I have, as my bio states, slept with a lot of women, and I've been with a lot of women. And I'll tell you right now, women like men that are not circumcised, but and that women love to bathe men before sex because of the Japanese tradition. So that hygienic part is not a consideration.
Why do you think women like it then? I mean, they like women. I don't know that there's a... are you telling me there's a difference between like a guy that isn't circumcised and a guy that is?
Well, I mean, a guy that is, I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying that women prefer...
Women prefer a man who isn't.
Who is not circumcised, right.
And it, well, how... Okay, so that's based on what?
Well, Phil, because... First of all, it's a very natural thing. It's very animalistic. Women are very much involved in the holistic movement. Women are very much involved in getting massages and mud baths and having facials. And this goes along with all of that. It's animalistic and it's very natural. And you should. I would suggest a lot of women should be with a man who will allow you to be you. And you ask a woman, has she ever bathed her man? Has she ever bathed an uncircumcised man? It's a very sexy thing. And if you like getting mud baths, then you'll like this.
Okay, Chris, let me give our phone number, 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton, he is on this segment of Male Sexuality on the Phil Hendry Show, talking about how women prefer uncircumcised men. You know, I got to tell you something. This is going to be a hard one to sell, because I don't think there's anybody.
Well, Phil, you have to come from my perspective and come from my point of view on this. My life has been unusual in that I'm very sexy. I have a lot of sexual energy, and I, because of that, women like the idea of opening up to me sexually. And when you have a guy that's not circumcised, it's like opening up a present. And you can only do that with an uncircumcised guy, not a circumcised guy. And so I think that...
Well, what, man, you're...
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm very sexy, okay? And
you're very sexy.
Yeah, I am. So I've been able to lure women and then find out what they like. I mean, and so I'm saying, before you say that you don't believe it, you have to have had the sex life that I've had. Because I've had a lot of sass, because I'm very sexual, and for me, that's number one, you know.
All right. You talked about the fact...
And also bathing. bathing's very important. It's an essential part of foreplay.
Yeah, you keep talking about this bathing thing, because people are worried that it's unhygienic and that it's...
Well, it doesn't have to be unhygienic. The woman will bathe the man. She'll willingly bathe the man, and then that's part of the foreplay. In fact, it used to be, they used to say, you know, four bases, did you go all the way? Kissing, breasts, you know?
Yeah.
But really, there's five bases. Kissing, the breasts, you know, your hand, then bathing, and then all the way. And that's part of, I think, the sexuality of it.
Chris Norton with us here on Male Sexuality, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. He's 28 years of age. He's an aspiring film producer. He's currently a telemarketer for a pharmaceutical company. He's not circumcised, and he says that women love it. And you have proven that in your life, at least, Chris, to yourself. You claim you've slept with over 900 women, and that part of the things that women like about the uncircumcised man is that he's a very natural man, and that it allows them to bathe him.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
Okay, there's the part that I'm going to have a hard time with, because if you just meet a woman...
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the getting to know. She, you know, takes your pants off. First she takes your shoes off and takes your pants off. Then bathe you, then, and that's all part of it.
All right, man. 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton with us as we continue our part 9 of a 14-part series, Male Sexuality, why he believes he's hot and why he thinks women are attracted to him even though he's uncircumcised. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Chris Norton, and he is a 28-year-old telemarketer from the South Bay about being uncircumcised and how he claims women prefer it. Okay, now I'm not going to argue with you, Chris. If you say that that's the truth, then that's the truth. You're also making the claim that you have slept with 979 women.
Yes, sir.
And you're also making the claim that they all love it. They all love the fact that you're not circumcised.
Women prefer that, and I'll tell you why. Women, again, want something natural. They don't want an unnatural sex act. If you can talk to any woman you ever talk to, do they want an unnatural sex act? You know, do they want...
What do you mean by an unnatural sex act?
I mean, do you know of any women who, you know, are going to say, yeah, you know, put me in a hanging Asian, you know, cess basket and spin me around? I mean, I don't know if that's going to be the case. And so I'm saying that what they want is natural.
And being uncircumcised is natural.
And as a result of that, Phil, women prefer that. One of the things that I think is important to know is the Japanese tradition of serving a man. One of the reasons why men prefer Japanese women is because they are very service-oriented. Japanese women love to take care of their men. American women have gotten away from that aspect. And because Japanese women like to take care of their men, the men enjoy that. So this gets women and men back to the essential sexuality, which is Japanese sexuality, Jap sexuality.
All right, man, you're going, we're all over the place here. You're talking about Japanese sexuality and the fact that because they bathe their men over there, then they're automatically sexier than American women?
I think a lot of Japanese women are sexier than American women, yeah. The Japuality of sex is...
What is the Japuality of sex?
Jap sex is that they take care of their men. They bathe them, they cleanse them, they towel them off, and then they get themselves prepared. And you can do that and have fun doing that if your man am not circumcised. So it's very sexy, and I found that to be the case. And then they clean up after, too.
All right, so what we have here, folks, is a young man who's telling us that women want to bathe their man first and then clean up.
Well, that includes either doing sheets or...
Okay, all right. I just want you to back off of that just a minute.
Well, I mean, you wanted me to say.
I know I wanted you to say, but I want you to just give me a break here for a second, because a lot of this stuff, this information is coming fast and furious. American women need to be more like Japanese women, bathe their man first, then clean up afterwards, and they like a guy that isn't circumcised. You're giving me a lot of information that isn't traditionally the view of American men.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. That you say it's not the traditional view of American men, but I'm more interested. And let me put it this way. Willie Dixon wrote a song called Backdoor Man, and it says, the men don't know, but the little girls understand. You know?
Yeah, man, that's cool.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so I don't know.
Well, I'm not saying you necessarily, but I mean, I you got to know about sass.
Okay, I don't know why I'm getting angry here, but let me just go to a call. Dana on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello? Dana, hello?
Oh, yes. My name's Dana.
Yes, Dana, go ahead.
I'd like to make a comment to this gentleman.
Go ahead,
ma'am. Apparently has not read the Hart Report. The Hart Report stated... Hello?
I'm right here, yeah.
Okay, the Hart Report stated that a woman's sexuality is based on not appearance, but on emotions, and it's psychological.
Well,
and
that's
most
a
women
report.
Do not have orgasms through intercourse.
That's a report. But I'm talking about real life. I don't have to read a book.
A report
I don't
is
have
real
to
life.
Read, I don't have to read a book. I know what the women like. When the women that I've been with, it's you see, I've slept with 979 women.
In your mind?
No, in reality. And as a result, I know what the women want. You're talking about reading a book. If you want to read a book, you can read a book. I'm talking about
American
the real life.
American women, we've come a long way.
Well, wait a minute, Dana, hold on for a minute, because he's making a good point. You're going to get your information out of personal experience or something you read in a book, you know?
I'm telling you that...
But let's talk about this, if you don't mind me interrupting. Don't talk about your personal experience, but you need to talk from your own life as opposed to some book, because the Height Report, by the way, is 50 years old. Okay.
That's right, Phil. 50 years ago, women didn't even know how to have orgasms, okay? So there's been a big change.
All right. Okay, Dana,
women
thanks.
Women do know how to have orgasms.
Not,
the men who didn't
50,
know how to give orgasms.
Not 50 years ago, they didn't know how because they didn't have none.
Well, she's saying that men didn't know how to... Well, what's this got to do with being uncircumcised?
Look, the whole thing about me being uncircumcised is that women like the natural way. Do you ever go and get mud baths? Do you ever go and get a facial?
Yeah, I get facials and I get massages, but what does it have to do with the natural way? Circumcised versus uncircumcised is irrelevant.
Because a
massage... Completely irrelevant.
No, because a massage is of the natural way.
What does that have to do with your penis?
If you get a massage, you might as well be married to an uncircumcised man. First of all, the female orgasm wasn't invented until 1972.
What are you talking about?
The female orgasm wasn't invented until 1972.
What are you talking about?
Have you ever heard of Roe versus Wade?
Yes, I
have. Thank you.
Wait a minute. What has that got to do with...
Well, women didn't have orgasms till
1970. Oh, help me.
I mean,
wait a second. Roe versus Wade was about a... Roe versus Wade was the Supreme Court ruling, having to do with a woman's body being her own.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't know what the heck I felt in 1968, but I can sure bet you it was an orgasm.
It may have been the wrong kind.
Wrong kind?
What do you mean the wrong kind?
Well, if you read the Height Report, there are three distinct kinds of orgasms. Two of them are off.
What?
And one is, that's all I'm trying to tell you. And so you talk about uncircumcised man. I would have to ask you, Dana, have you ever been with a man what not circumcised?
Yes, I have, and it's no difference with me. If I care about the man,
okay,
if I love the man,
that proves
psychological, it's mental. It's how the man is talking to me. It's not me being subservient to the man and cleaning him and cleaning up after him.
I'm just saying that proves you didn't have an orgasm until probably the mid to late 70s.
I have had many orgasms. Hello, starting in 1968.
You're sure that...
Wait a minute. We're getting into an area that I'm not comfortable with here, okay?
No.
You're getting this man on the radio.
Kinds of orgasms, okay? Hey, what about the spatial?
Okay, look, Chris, I don't want you to talk about female sexuality, all right? We are here for you to talk about men, and Dana will talk about whatever it is she wants to talk about.
Well, I'm not saying she didn't have no orgasm. I think
you're saying she didn't have one until the mid to late 70s. How do you know?
Well, okay. I mean...
What are the handy wipes doing in your car?
I'm sorry?
Is this how you make love to a woman? Keep handy wipes? You are a telemarketer. That's wonderful. You're a telemarketer.
What? I can't hear.
Okay, your car phone's crapping out. She asked the question, what are handy wipes doing in your car?
In case there's sex. I mean, in case I have sexuality in the car.
In case you have some sex in the car. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Chris Norton, part 9 in our 14-part series, Male Sexuality. And he's saying that an uncircumcised man is preferable, and that the women that he's been with prefer that. Let's go to Susan on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, Chris, you are totally mistaken everything that these women are doing for you. The reason they're bathing you is because they have no idea what's under all that skin. Okay? They're wondering if there's... Who the heck knows what's under there? Women don't want uncircumcised men. You say it's natural?
Well, what are you talking about? Nine, they love it because it's natural, like getting a bath.
So is armpit hair on a woman. But they shave that, don't they?
Not all of them. Okay. I mean,
well, do you like armpit hair on a woman?
What?
Do you, Chris, do you like armpit hair on a woman?
It's not quite, man. It's hanky as hell.
Well,
okay.
Well, but I'm a man. I'm the man. And one
of
the
things. Do you bathe your women as well?
Well, no, because this is the Japanese way of pleasing a man. Okay.
I don't think it has anything to do with pleasing a man. I think that these women are scared to death to find out what's really under there. So they're cleaning it just to protect themselves a little bit more.
If they didn't want to be with me, then why would they have sex with me?
They're obviously freaks just like you.
Oh.
And the word is sex, not sass. I don't know what you're saying. It's sex.
Ma'am, you know what? I did say sass.
Well, it sounds like, I don't know what kind of phone you're on, ma'am.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're saying sex.
Okay, the number one thing is I didn't come on the show to be ridiculed or anything. And
Chris, it's just some questions, ma'am. We don't mean to ridicule you. You're saying that you've slept with 979 women.
Yeah, right. Well,
sure.
See, everybody thinks I'm lying.
No, wait a minute. I believe you.
Thanks, man.
Well, you're welcome, okay? But that's not the point. The point is, you said, first of all, you said the orgasm wasn't invented until 1972.
Thing I've ever heard.
No, what I was saying was no women have had the height report.
Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show. Chris Norton has joined us. This is part 9 in our 14-part series of male sexuality. Why do we have music from Cirque du Soleil because we're talking about sex?
I gotta help with that.
What?
I could help you with that.
No, I'm talking to my engineer. Why do we have?
No, but I mean, Cirque du Soleil is very sexy. Have you ever been to Cirque du Soleil?
No, I have not. I know it's in Vegas.
It's really. There's a lot of sass, you know.
Is it? It's a sex show?
No. It's a really cool. Yeah.
Turn it down. Turn it down.
Yeah. It has a very beautiful sensual aspect to it. I don't know.
All right, Chris, you're with us. You're telling us that the female orgasm didn't exist before 1972, and that women prefer to be with uncircumcised men because there's more man there. And
also, women enjoy the natural musk. And that
women enjoy the natural musk. Okay.
They do. They like the natural musk scent. And
oh God.
What?
It's grossing me out, man.
Well, women like uncircumcised because it's like a little animal, you know, that they're dealing with.
Okay. Let's just go to Carolyn on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
I believe he's been with 979 women because who the hell would go back for a second time? Obviously, nobody's wanted to spend time with him.
How long did you practice that opening line?
Pardon me?
How long did you practice that opening line?
Well, let me say, I'm a 51-year-old mother of
right.
six,
let me,
grandmother
let me say
of
this,
six,
Carolyn.
And you know
I'm the
what?
Host of the show.
Love...
All right, hold on. And put Chris on hold. The professional talk show caller often calls up with the rehearsed opening line. Okay? Okay, Carolyn.
Kansas City, and
I've
never been
you're still
so...
running your mouth? We had you on hold the whole time. So, Carolyn, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Be quiet when I'm talking.
Who is talking to me like that?
Yeah, Phil.
It's the host of the show talking to you like this. When you come on with the rehearsed opening line...
That's not a... I'm driving along in Kansas, driving to my granddaughter.
Shut up.
This guy's talking about women being skank. A guy who has to be washed that many times.
He never said
skank.
The word skank, lady.
Yes, he
okay.
did.
Without
hair under their arms.
No, he didn't say. He said hanky. He didn't say skank.
Well, then he really has a problem with this.
Mr.
Song.
Henry,
so
you should listen to Mr. Henry because you everything you've said is wrong, lady. Everything.
What are you talking about?
Everything.
You got through recording.
Mr. Henry just put you in your place. Admit it.
Excuse me.
Hold on, Chris. I'll talk to the caller. All I'm saying is the well-rehearsed opening line, we don't need.
How can it be a well-rehearsed opening line? The only time I've been on is while I've been on hold. I've never listened to your show before.
You were practicing that line.
Yeah,
you're wrong.
You've probably called a lot of talk shows.
Chris, be quiet. I'm talking to her.
Excuse me. I'm a caller that called your show who has never even listened to your show before.
I know, but you probably call a lot of other talk shows.
I have never called a talk show, for God's sake.
Hey, Phil, she's lying to you.
All right, look, forget about it. What did you want to say to this guy?
I said...
You lied.
Be quiet, Chris. Go ahead.
Do you want to listen or do you want to talk?
You just shouldn't lie.
Be quiet, Chris, and let her talk.
Your gentleman caller just reported to another listener that... That a report is not the actual thing. Is that correct?
What?
That a report is not the actual knowing. Is that what you said to the other caller?
What are you talking about?
You said, the lady quoted a report.
The height report's 50 years old.
Excuse me. Did you say before that a report that the woman called about that you said you had not read... You said actions basically speak louder than words. You understood by what you had experienced?
No, I don't remember saying that.
Could you please listen back to what your tape was when you told that woman
she
was wrong?
Are you asking me or are you telling me?
Well, why don't we ask your host?
Hey, host. Mr. Henry? Well, he's not here.
Well, then I guess I'll talk to you.
Hey, Mr. Henry, wherever you are, this lady's skanking me.
Yeah, this lady's saying somebody that needs to be bathed that much must have a problem with an uncircumcised part.
What?
It must be very dirty if you have to be bathed that many times.
979 women I've been with.
979 women did not bother to come back because they had to bathe you.
I wouldn't let them back in my apartment, and some of them had the key, too.
I'm sure they did, just to probably see what an animal is instead of a man.
Wait a second, it's 980 now.
You know what? You are a disgusting piece
of
humanity.
Where's the host of the show? I'm a what? I'm what?
Low class. Dog. You want to smell like a dog? You act like a dog?
You would love to
You have to be bathed like a dog?
You know something? You'd love to have sex with me.
You know, I wouldn't. You know what? My husband has been able to satisfy me since 1968. And you want to talk about...
You know something? That's what all of them say.
You know what?
What?
You haven't
every
been with
woman,
all of them, buddy, so you don't know
woman,
what they all say.
Every woman that I've ever
You know
ever
what?
Been with
you
said,
would never get to me because I can't stand people like you.
Well, I don't like
you are
trailer
gross
trash.
Humanity.
I don't
gross
like trailer,
humanity.
I don't like trailer trash.
Well, I'm certainly not trailer trash. I could buy you and sell you,
hey,
sweetheart.
You know what? I've spent thousands of dollars getting my locks changed to keep women like you out of my apartment.
Not in this lifetime.
Hey.
Not
hey.
In this lifetime. You know what? I believe in God. I believe in my family. And I believe in having some class.
Oh, so I guess this means your husband's not circumcised. Hello?
Can you breathe a little heavier into the phone?
I have a sinus condition. I'm sorry.
A sinus condition on both ends.
And I have class.
You need to be bathed so much. What is your sinus condition?
I have class. Every chick I pick up.
I guess you've been dripping from both ends, buddy.
They get a rum and coke at the Rusty Pelican. Does your husband feed you a drink before he has sex with you? Probably not.
What are you talking about? My husband and I have a drink in front of the fireplace. We have history, we have romance, we have children and grandchildren, and you know what? You don't know what the real thing
grandchildren.
Is.
Grandchildren? You can't have sex after 50. What are you talking about?
Try.
You said it could be put in prison for it because it's a federally licensed...
Okay, I'm back. What's been going on?
She's been using dirty words, and she said you were an ass.
Carolyn did?
Yeah.
You called me an ass, Carolyn? Hello? I guess she hung up. What happened?
She said the F word, and she said you were an a-hole, and I don't want to say the whole word.
I was in the bathroom. Did all of that take place? Why was that call still on the air? Why weren't we in a commercial break?
I don't know.
Craig, why weren't we in a commercial break? Where's Craig? Tell us what's going on around here. How long did that call go on, Mike? 5 minutes? What were you talking to her about, Chris?
Nothing.
What were you talking to her about?
She said that she used all kinds of dirty words and everything, man. I can't even repeat them. She said you were an F-head and an A area, and I don't even want to say.
That woman did.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Where's Mike? Where is everybody? You know, do I got to go around to the other side of the board here? Go to another phone call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Carrie on the Phil Henry Show. Hello? Carrie.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
First of all, Chris, is it?
Yeah.
Your sinus condition doesn't flare up when you're talking to the host or you're talking and there's no interruption. It's only when a caller's on, so I'd like to point that out. Second of all, your
deal with
the bathing.
You know, you could have all the, you know, you're weird, lady.
How can you make that assessment for less than 30 seconds when you've been on the phone? Are you
really
going to talk or are you going to listen?
You want to talk about what we're talking about or you want to talk about my nose?
I'm just pointing out that your sinus condition doesn't flare up when you're talking to the host or you're not talking
to
a caller.
Chris, are you trying to breathe over these women?
No.
Yes, he is. It's so incredibly obvious.
All right.
Okay, let's get to the point. Okay,
first of all, the whole bathing thing.
Are you going to listen or are you going to talk?
Yeah, I just think you're very unfair.
Go ahead, Carrie.
Okay, the whole bathing thing, look, American women are probably not like that because we're not your mother. We got over the bathing thing and the cleaning up after you when you were two.
Oh, in other words, you got over being sassy when I was two. Oh, okay. Okay.
I got over what?
You got over being sassy.
I'm not sexy with a two-year-old, honey. I got over being someone's mother. I don't want to bathe my husband, and I don't want to clean up after him. That was his mom's job. I'm his wife.
Let me ask you a question. How do
you
know if you don't bathe him, how do you know after you have sex with him that he's not going to get the drip or something like that? Because it's
business.
He takes care of his own business after sex. I don't have to freaking bathe him. Why do I have to bathe him and clean up after him?
Because he may get the drip from you.
And the second point I wanted to make is, see, there goes the breathing again. Anyway, the second point I wanted to make was, what American women want is we want men who know what they're doing in bed, and we want to be satisfied so that both of us can walk away happy.
Well, welcome.
And
welcome
I congratulate you on your 900 and plus women. Go for it. But what I'd like to know is, how many of them do you really think walked away happy? And before you answer that...
How come I got to change the lock?
Wait a second,
how come I
got to
change the lock, yeah.
And how many of you think faked it?
How come I got to change the lock? How come they send me flowers?
Because they're subservient women. Because they want to be loved by you.
Well, I knew you'd have an answer for that one, Carrie.
Because they've been cleaning up after you and wiping your ass. Excuse me, I don't want to say that.
Hey, Carrie, I don't know where you are, but if you want satisfaction sexually, here's my number. 213-251.
Honey, I wouldn't waste any amount of time on you. You have such an inflated ego.
Write it on the cup.
You want women to love you and clean up after you.
All you got
to
do is
wipe up your dress.
Write it on the cocktail napkin in front. Write it on the beer bottle label that you peeled off.
Oh, he hung up. Well, I don't know. His last line was something about you writing it on. Are you still there, Carrie? She's gone, too. Write it on the beer. Why does it smell musky in here? Anyway, he said, write it on the beer bottle label that you have in front of you. Okay, that was spirited. That was good. And that's why we're good. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. And it is with great pleasure that we bring on a feature on our program that we haven't had on for quite some time. It's time now for Mavis Leonard. Mavis joins us from the Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California, for interesting tidbits on your drive home. Is that what it's called, Mavis? Mavis, dear, are you there?
Yes, Miss Jenner, I'm right here, and we call this interesting tidbits for your drive home.
Okay, and go ahead, dear.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mavis Leonard. I am. I play a piano, and I'm also with the daycare center at Joyful Union Congregation. And it's my pleasure to have interesting tidbits for your drive home. And here is our first one.
These are, I don't mean to interrupt you, dear. These are things.
These are just little things for people to get their mind off their job and look forward to a nice hot meal when they get home.
All right, interesting tidbits with Mavis Leonard.
Thank you, Phil. Prison inmates are suspected of putting human feces in the coffee served to developmentally disabled patients at the South Dakota Developmental Center in Redfield. At least one patient got sick after drinking coffee with human waste in it. There was a turd floating in...
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. And you can turn the music down, too. What do you mean, interesting tidbits for your drive home?
This thing's for people that... Just shut up.
I will not shut up. You're not gonna...
Just shut your mouth.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
I said to shut up. People driving home, they want to take their mind off of their job. And here's a nice little interesting tidbit. The prisoners crap into the coffee and then they serve it...
Okay, that's... it ain't happening for me. I don't know about you. Get her out of here. What do you mean the prisoners crap into the coffee and then they serve... This is interesting tidbits for the drive home, meaning fun news. Nice, fun things, okay? Things for people to enjoy. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
Well, how do you figure hearing about prisoners putting human waste into coffee, how's that fun?
I think it's a riot. I think it's funny because I had an uncle who had been in prison. I gave him that idea. And I told him something. What's going on?
These have been interesting tidbits from Mavis.
Hold on, what are you doing?
Mavis Leonard, thanks, dear.
Well, wait a minute, don't you duck me. Goddamn cracker son of a bitch.
That's it. Thank you very much. And goodbye.
I'll get you. I don't know how far I have to run, but I'll get...
That's very nice. Thank you very much.
Can't hide everywhere, Henry.
That's great. Thanks a lot.
Hi. You know, I have to say that this person that is an expert in food...
I'm a food critic for Wine and Brie Week monthly.
Okay. Well, I have to say that I find it rather offensive that you would even put yourself in this position criticizing people that you don't know. And as far as Spaza's is concerned, it is a public restaurant. I have eaten at Spago's at least 25 times.
Technically, yes.
And on Friday nights, on Saturday nights, during the week,
able to get in.
Yes, with no problem.
Is this Shirley Jones?
No, it's not Shirley Jones.
Who is this?
My name is Shirley, and I am not...
You are an actress, though. No, you are.
No, I am not.
There's no way you get into Spago's unless you're an actress.
Well, you're calling
me a
liar, and I know where I've eaten,
Shirley,
and I know how many times I've eaten there on Monday night.
You work in the entertainment business. If you got in on a Friday night, you work in the entertainment business.
Wait a minute. Shirley, this is Phil Henry. You do not work in the entertainment business.
No, I do not.
No, I think this is Katie Seagal.
I'm an average middle-class citizen.
Is this Kathy,
Native Californian, and
Kathy,
you know,
and Jimmy,
for
know
you to cast judgment on people that you don't even know, and to be an expert in something that you have no idea.
Is this Jennifer Love Hewitt? I'm joking now. I think this is Kathy Najimy that I'm speaking to, though, Phil. Kathy, you're doing great work at King of the Hill.
I'm sorry,
and I want to say this to you.
No, you know what?
You are doing a disservice to the listeners.
You want to perceive people a certain way when you don't even give yourself half the credit as a critic.
And by the way, I'm sorry about Veronica's Closet. I love the show, but I want you to know.
I don't know who you're talking about.
This is not Kathy Najimy that you're talking to. This is Shirley from Studio City.
No, it's Kathy. And I will say this. I think
I'm so glad that he is sure who he's talking to when he doesn't even want to listen to what anybody has to say.
And how was Brad Pitt's wedding? What I want to say more than anything else is this. I think it's really wrong. It's really wrong for you to pretend like you're just an average person and say you get into Spago's on a Friday night when you know those people out there will never get in.
This person is psychotic and cannot even.
Roland, if you think this is Kathy,
I'm hearing you. You say you went there 25 times. Okay, I heard that. I heard that. You've been there.
And I am not who you say that I am.
No, I know that this is either. I know it's either Melissa Hart or Kathy Najimy.
I'm sorry, but
I take it back. I'm glad Veronica's Closet got canceled.
Bill Henry.
Spooge Demon.